This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
It's now time for our main program this evening by a very honored guest, a person who has a very, very busy schedule, but alhamdulillah, he managed to put us in his busy schedule. In fact, Maulana was in Zimbabwe this weekend. On Tuesday night, he had a program. He was MC for one of the Madrasa Jalsas. He's here this evening. Tomorrow night, he'll be in Woodbank. Friday, he'll be back in Benoni. So Maulana has a very, very busy schedule, and alhamdulillah, he took out time from his schedule to come and spend time with us here to educate us as far as the life of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is concerned. And Maulana really doesn't need any introduction, and I'm sure many of you are gathered here to see Maulana live. You know, he's normally on ITV, but today he will be live, inshallah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with us. You know, sometimes we hate on the airwaves of Nabi Islam, today we can actually look at him and listen to him as well, inshallah. Without any further ado, Maulana. I just forgot to answer you. The question and answer session will be after the program.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله. الحمد لله العلي الأعلى الذي خلق فسوى وقدر فهدى. أشهد أنه لا إله إلا هو له الأسماء الحسنى. وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صاحب المقام المعلى. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لقد جاءكم رسول من أنفسكم عزيز عليه ما عنتم حريص عليكم بالمؤمنين رؤوف رحيم وقال تعالى ولو كنت فظا غليظ القلب لانفضوا من حولك صدق الله العظيم. Honorable ulama, respected brothers, there is no human that has ever lived in any era who is a complete, perfect, and comprehensive example for anyone at any time, in any circumstance, except Muhammad bin Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There is no human, including the Anbiya alayhi wa salatu wa salam, who are perfect examples up to the end of time for any human in any time and age, in any circumstance, in any era, that he can find guidance irrespective of what his condition or what his circumstance. In Surah Al-Anbiya, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala introduces different Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam to some extent, with some detail. Allah talks about Ibrahim alayhi salam and his story, Nuh alayhi salam and his story, Dawud and Sulaiman alayhi salam, Ayyub alayhi salam. But when it comes to Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala suffices with just one sentence. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. It is sufficient to highlight the greatness, the uniqueness, and the comprehensive nature of the example of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by stating very emphatically that we have sent you as a mercy unto the entire mankind. What does it mean that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is rahmatul lil alameen? It means that the Nabi of Allah is a means of mercy for everything that is in existence. Not only Muslims, not only humans. Every creation of Allah benefits by the fact that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam existed. The mere existence of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a means of mercy. Then every instruction, every prohibition, every action, and every word of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a means of mercy. The question that you and I need to ask ourselves is this: to what extent are we tapping into that mercy? When the verse "وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ" is recited, it evokes within us sentiment. And that is testimony to our love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But it needs to go beyond that. Every time we hear that title or we hear that verse, do we introspect and reflect? Do we ask ourselves a very difficult yet pertinent question? To what extent am I deriving benefit from the mercy of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And the mercy of the Nabi of Allah to some extent is found for all, as I mentioned, by his mere existence, by the fact that we are from his ummah. But the greater mercy of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be found in his sunnah, in his seerah, in following in his footsteps. Now he began by stating that there is no human, including the Abiy alayhi wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that left behind a comprehensive example which will be relevant to anyone at any time up to the end of time. Now this is not something that we as Muslims just say out of emotion. This is rooted in substantiation. The scholars have written that there are three conditions for you to be a comprehensive example. The first condition is this, that your mandate must not only be confined to a particular town, locality or nation. So many of the Abiy alayhi salatu wasalam, they received revelation from Allah, but their mandate was to go and preach the word of Allah to a particular nation, to a particular town, to a particular locality. The second condition to be a comprehensive example is that your teachings need to cover every facet of human existence. Your teachings need to cover every facet of human example or existence. And if you look at the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the teachings of the Nabi of Allah, every aspect of our lives, from the time we are born up to the time that we die, from the time we wake up in the morning up to the time that we retire at night, in times of happiness, in times of sadness, in times of privacy, or whether you are in public, for every aspect of your existence, there is guidance from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the third condition that is required for a person to be a comprehensive example is that all of those teachings and practices must be preserved. And we know how wonderfully the teachings and the practices of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam have been preserved by the Sahaba and the Aimma Muhaddithin thereafter. And if I narrate you a hadith, I can tell you the entire chain of narrators right up to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So these three conditions are found in hands. We say that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the complete example, the most comprehensive example, and his example is adequate, it's sufficient for any human in any era, in any condition, up to the day of Qiyamah. Not only do we say that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the best, but he was the best in every way. He excelled in every virtue. You want to talk about generosity? His generosity was the highest. You want to talk about courage? His example of courage was supreme. He took every noble attribute that there was, every noble quality that existed in every Nabi, and enhanced it and promoted it to another level in terms of his teachings, in terms of his example, and in terms of the legacy that he left for the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the best in every regard. There's a famous poem that we listen to or that we hear many a time. And I just want to run through some of the couplets to highlight and to emphasize and to elaborate on what I've already said. You know, the poet says, "As-subhu bada min tal'atihi." The light of dawn is from the radiance of his face. The light of dawn is from the radiance of his face. One day, one tabi'i asked his father, who was a sahabi, that described to me Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And here we're talking about physical description, physical beauty. So he said, "Ya bunay, law ra'aytahu ra'ayta shamsa tali'atan." If you had to see him, the sight of the Nabi of Allah was as magnificent as the rising of the sun. You know, when you come out at night, it's darkness. Then when you come out at the time when the sun is rising, it's like the sun is radiating light all over the darkness. So لو رأيته رأيت الشمس طالعة. Not only in public was it like that. Aisha radiallahu anha says, لنا شمس وللآفاق شمس. I have a sun and the horizon has a sun. The sun on the horizon rises in the morning. But the sun in our homes used to rise when our husband, the Prophet ﷺ, used to come home in the evening. So, الصبح بدا من طلعته والليل دجا من وفرته. The night has a sparkle. The sparkle comes from the glimmer of the noble hair of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So physical beauty unmatched. Aisha radiallahu anha said, those women who cut their fingers when they were mesmerized by the beauty of Yusuf alayhi salam, had they been exposed to the beauty of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they would have cut their hearts. They would have cut their hearts. Imam Qurtubi rahimahullah said, Allah has not shown any human the full extent of the physical beauty of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The human eye in this world doesn't have the capacity to withstand it. The full extent of the physical beauty of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will only be revealed in Jannah. In terms of spirituality, in terms of nobility and virtue, فَقَرْ رُسُلَ فَضْلًا وَعُلَى. Take all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam and put them on one side. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam exceeded every messenger and all of the messengers in merit and in rank. In terms of his ancestry, his lineage, أَزْكَى النَّسَبِ أَعْلَى الْحَسَبِ. His lineage is the purest. His stature is the noblest. Every Nabi had miracles. But look at the miracles of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. سَعَتِ الشَّجَرُ نَطَقَ الْحَجَرُ. When he used to walk, the trees would walk towards him to greet him. The stones that are dead, you know in English they say as dead as the stone. The stones used to speak to him. شَقَّ الْقَمَرُ بِإِشَارَتِهِ. He split the moon with one indication of the forefinger. Then if you talk about uniqueness, every one of us, we want something which no one else has. This morning on the radio, we were talking about sharing recipes. It's rather a sensitive topic amongst women, right? So a lot of the women were saying, no, you must share, inshallah, Allah will give you reward, and tawab. I don't know how sincere they were in all of those comments. But one lady was honest and she said, listen, if one woman makes one dish very nicely, then let that recipe be her exclusivity. Let it be her signature dish. People must say, no, if you really want to have this, go to her and have it. Don't force her to give the recipe. Let that be something which is unique to her. So every human likes something which is unique to them. If you want to talk about uniqueness, then how about this as a unique privilege, as an exclusive privilege? Jibreel ata laylat asra. Jibreel alayhi salam comes to him on the night of Mi'raj and says, Allah has chosen you for this once-in-a-lifetime journey that's exclusive to you. وَالرَّبُّ دَعَاهُ لِحَضْرَتِهِ. The invitation is not from Jibreel, he's merely the messenger. It is Allah who is inviting and saying, oh my beloved, come so close to me that none in the creation have ever enjoyed such proximity to the Creator. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then, one is you have greatness and you benefit from your greatness. The other is you have greatness and millions of people after you continue to benefit from your greatness. نَالَ الشَّرَفَ وَاللَّهُ عَفَى عَمَّا سَلَفَ مِنْ أُمَّتِهِ. Because of the greatness of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we continue to be pardoned by Allah for our indiscretions. His greatness, our benefit. But the crux of it all boils down to this. فَمُحَمَّدُنَا هُوَ سَيِّدُنَا. We take great pride in proclaiming and announcing the fact that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is our master, is our leader. فَلَعِزُّ لَنَا بِإِجَابَتِهِ. But the real honor and pride is in following the footsteps of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Nabi of Allah was the most comprehensive example. The most comprehensive example. You know, Maulana Abul Hasan al-Idhi rahimahullah has written a book which I'm currently busy reading. And he tells us something which is phenomenal. I don't have the time to go into the details of it, but I'll just give you the summary of the entire point. He says, we all know about the period of Jahiliyyah, the ignorance, the period prior to the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his nubuwwah. We know about what they used to do in that period. So we know some of the common examples. They used to make the wealth of the Kaaba naked, bury their daughters alive, fight tribal wars without any real reason. But Aniyya rahmatullahi alayhi says that they had reached such a low ebb. Man, insan, the Arabs of Arabia had reached such a low ebb that if you look at the whole history of mankind, never was mankind such a low level in terms of how they lived. And then Allah says, Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in 23 years, the Nabi of Allah not only transformed the whole of Arabia, which had reached the lowest ebb in the history of humanity, but he set the foundation for the transformation of mankind up to the end of time. In 23 years. So when we say he was the greatest, when we say he was the best, it's not something that you just say out of emotion. It's not something that you just say in a kind of glib way, in passing. No, it is something which is rooted, something which is steeped. In fact, in substantiation, when you study the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there is only but one conclusion that shines through. He was the best of the best of the best, the most comprehensive, the ultimate example, the highest role model that humankind can ever imagine. Now in this short discourse, we cannot discuss a few aspects of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, let alone many. So I have chosen to speak about one quality, one trait in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the reason I have chosen this particular quality is because this has become a rarity, a scarcity in our lives. And that is leniency. Leniency in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Nabi of Allah was a very lenient human being. He was a very gentle human being. He was a very compassionate human being. He was a very kind human being. He was a very merciful human being. This verse which I recited in my introduction, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala mentions, is the concluding verse of Surah At-Tawbah. Allah says, لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ. A Nabi has come to you from amongst you. So either the addressee is the Arabs. That, O Arabs, a Nabi has come to you from amongst your own people. Meaning, so you know him and you know his life story. Or humans could be addressed here. That, O mankind, a Nabi has come to you from amongst you. He's not an angel, he's not another creation, he's a human like you. In another kalam, in another dialect of recitation, min anfasikum. In other words, a Nabi has come from amongst you who is the best from you. He is from you, meaning he's like a human, he's from you, he's a human like you, but he's not your average human, he's the greatest human. Wa Muhammadun basharun laysa kal bashari. Imam Hanifa rahimahullah used to say, yes indeed Muhammad is a human, but he's not your average human. Al-Yaqutu hajarun laysa kal hajari. The emerald is a stone, but it's not an average stone. There's a big difference between the stone on the street corner and the diamond, which is also a stone. So laqad ja'akum rasulun min anfusikum. No one can praise the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam or can introduce the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to us like Allah can. So we're looking at the words of the Quran, and Allah says, he comes from you, he is the best of you. Azizun alayhi ma anittum. The difficulties that afflict you are very distressing to you. Whatever you go through difficulty, he goes through difficulty. Because he takes your difficulty to be his difficulty. This is also a sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The sunnah of the Nabi of Allah is not restricted or confined to how we eat or how we sleep or how we dress or how we conduct ourselves at the time of ibadah. The sunnah of the Nabi of Allah is comprehensive. So this leniency, this compassion, where other people's troubles become your own troubles, this is also part of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. حريصٌ عليكم. The Quran says he's very worried about you. Always anxious about your spiritual state, your physical state, your psychological state. بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفُ الرَّحِيمُ. Very forgiving and merciful to the believers. Now here Allah brings the word believers in the end. That means that the previous two descriptions, عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَلِيْتُمْ, that whatever troubles you, troubles him, it doesn't only refer to Muslims. Meaning whatever troubles any human, even if it's not Muslim, it affects the Prophet ﷺ. حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ is not only in reference to Muslims. He is anxious over your condition, Muslims and non-Muslims. بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفُ الرَّحِيمُ. But when it comes to the believers, that is one step higher. He is most forgiving, most merciful. So the leniency of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What's the definition of being lenient? I found a good definition. They say, leniency means to be more merciful or tolerant than expected. To be more merciful or tolerant than expected. Meaning in those circumstances that you find yourself in, whatever is the reasonable expectation of how tolerant you should be, to be a little beyond that, then you are a lenient person. So the Nabi of Allah was not average when it came to his tolerance. He was beyond that, he was lenient. And gentleness is a form of leniency. If you study the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Nabi of Allah had great interest in the welfare of people. Today we live very selfish lives, very individualistic lives. The son is no longer worried about his parents. The neighbor is no longer worried about the person who stays next door. One community is not worried about the plight of a community that lives on their periphery, simply because they're not part of the same race group, or they don't share the same culture, or they don't speak the same language. But the Nabi of Allah was greatly interested in the welfare of people. And he took particular interest in helping those people who were in trouble. Today, if we know someone is in trouble, we stay far from that person. Because we say he's going to take his trouble and make it my trouble. So I know he's in debt. Hey, I check him in the masjid, I hit out the other entrance. In case he may ask me for some assistance. And the Prophet ﷺ looked for those people who were in trouble to assist them. One day Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu gave a khutbah and he said, people, like there is zakat on your wealth, there is zakat on your body as well. So they said, what is the zakat of the body? Zakat of the wealth, we understand, 10.5%. He said, zakat of the body is that you must take the difficulties of others and make it your own difficulty. In other words, like he would take his own problem seriously, you must take his problem as seriously in your endeavor to help him. This is the quality that is lacking from us today. You see, we talk about unity, but we only talk about unity when we look at the political difficulty that the Ummah is facing. So you talk about Palestine and you say, hey, the Palestinian issue will never be resolved until there's unity. You look at Syria and you say the Syrian issue will never be resolved until there's unity. 100%, that is correct. But unity will only come if you and I are united. It's not only the leaders who will get united. Unity doesn't start at the top, it starts at the bottom. And how can we be united when we're living selfish lives, individualistic lives? We don't worry about others. Every man for himself, God for all. That may be a saying, but it is not any sort of principle or any sort of benchmark or any sort of guideline when it comes to Islam. But you can only care about people if you yourself are lenient, if you yourself are gentle. The verse which I recited in my introduction, Allah Ta'ala says to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضَّلْ. If you were ill-tempered, غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ, hard-hearted, لَنْ فَضُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ, then the best of people who were the Sahaba, they would have deserted you and fled from you. Now let us pause to reflect for a moment there. If Sahaba would not have remained loyal to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on account of him being hard-hearted and ill-tempered, you think your wife, your children, your students, or your employees are going to remain loyal to you if you are ill-tempered and if you are hard-hearted? Allah, who created us, who designed us, who fashioned us, who knows us better than we know ourselves, He said, if you don't have leniency in your disposition, if you're not an accommodating, gentle human, no one will be with you, no one will work with you, and you won't achieve much in life. So leniency is also a sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Leniency is also a sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is an instruction of the Quran to the greatness of creation. If he had to obey this instruction, then you and I have to obey it to a greater extent. Allah said, وَخْفِرْ جَنَاحَكَ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Lower your wings for the believers. If there was any man who was entitled to say, my way or the highway, if you want to be with me, then you do it my way. It can't be no other way. If there was any man who was entitled to say that, it was Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yet Allah says to him, وَخْفِرْ جَنَاحَكَ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Lower your wings for the believers. Be gentle. Be gentle. Be forgiving. Let's take a look at a few hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this regard. The first hadith that I want to discuss is from the Muwatta of Imam Malik rahimahullah. Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu anhu was a great sahaba. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sending him to Yemen to take the message of Islam to the people of Yemen, to rule over the people of Yemen. And the Nabi of Allah walked him for the distance out of Medina. And as he was getting ready now to depart, he put his foot into the stirrup. Like we would say, he opened the car door. The last advice that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave him was, أحسن خلقك للناس معاذ بن جبل. Be a man of refined character when you're dealing with people. Have good character. Have decency. Have compassion. Have gentleness. Have leniency. Then you will be successful. Then you will be successful in this mission that I am sending you on. There's a hadith in Tirmidhi where Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the Sahaba that should I not inform you about that person? Now look at this person. Should I not inform you about that person that he is haram for the fire of Jahannam and the fire of Jahannam is haram for him? Meaning that this person has such qualities, he will never see Jahannam and Jahannam will never see him. And everyone would aspire to be in this category. The Nabi Allah said, عَلَى كُلِّ قَرِيبٍ هَيِّنٍ سَهْلٍ. If a person is accessible, and he's soft, and he is lenient, accessibility, people can come to you. You are approachable. You're not so highty-tighty and mighty that you kind of make yourself a recluse. People can't see you, they can't talk to you, they can't interact with you. It's very difficult to get to you. No. Qareebin, you're close to people, you're approachable, you're accessible. Haytinin, you're soft in your temperament, in your mannerism, in your attitude and approach, in your speech, you're soft. Sahlin, and you are lenient. You are lenient. These are qualities of a Jannati. These were qualities of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you truly love the Nabi of Allah, if you truly want to be a Jannati, then be lenient. Be lenient. It is also a sunnah. Then there is a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam where Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu narrates that he says, I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say that there was a man in the previous times and he had passed on. And when he passed on, he had very little in terms of good deeds. And the angels were looking for something, some excuse to present before Allah to try and secure his forgiveness. They said, tell us, what good have you done in your life? He said, to be honest, I can't remember. To be honest, I can't remember. They said, no, think again. So he thought again and he said, you know, maybe, I don't know if this counts. When I was a big businessman in the world, when I used to do business with people, then those who were rich, I would give them time to pay. I would give them respite. I would go easy with them in terms of the repayments. I would give them a little extra time. I would give them a little bit of a discount. Those who were rich and those who were poor, I would just write it off. I would write it off. And when they presented that to Allah, that was the means of that person's total forgiveness. Total forgiveness. You know, today, not today, in this week somebody told me, I was interceding on behalf of somebody else. I said, you know, why don't you give a little discount? And the person retorted and said, well, If he can afford it, then he mustn't ask for a discount. If he can afford it, he mustn't ask for a discount. So I tell him, you know what, let's be fair. There's so many things that you and I can afford, but doesn't a discount always help? Doesn't a discount always help? Have a heart. It's part of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this man secured his entry into Jannah because with the rich, those who could afford it, he still gave them respite, he gave them terms, he gave them time to pay. Because even they need some flexibility. And those who totally could stand, he could see this man is struggling, he's a battler, he's a hustler, he totally wiped it off. He forgave it. That's why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said the narration of Bukhari, رَحِمَ اللَّهُ رَجُلًا. May Allah have mercy on that man. سَمْحًا إِذَا بَاءَ وَإِذَا اشْتَرَى وَإِذَا قَتَدَى. That he is lenient. He's lenient when he buys. Not like us Indians. When we go to the guy to buy, we negotiate until we drop, we extract the last drop out of him. So when you buy, you're lenient. Let the man feel nice about the deal. At least he made a handsome profit. وَإِذَا اشْتَرَى. When you sell also. Right, so whether you buy or whether you sell, you're lenient. And also when you have to deal with people and you have to make a decision, be somewhat lenient in as far as your own rights are concerned. These are great qualities. You and I today, society is skewed. If a man is lenient, if a man is gentle, we think he's weak. We think it's a negative trait. Whereas Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one day saw a sahabi and he said that his name was Ashaj bin Qais. He said, Allah sees two qualities in you which Allah loves. Allah sees two qualities in you which Allah loves. Al-Hilm, you are tolerant. You can tolerate. Nowadays, our egos are so huge that we cannot even tolerate to a minuscule extent. With our own spouses, with our own children, with those people that we interact with on a daily basis. Read the seerah of Rasulullah. The thing is, we don't read. We think that when we went to Makkah, we learned the basic life story. I know, yes, and this year, this day, the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was born, he became an orphan, his father passed away, mother passed away, brother passed away. I know the seerah. What's more to know? Every author brings to the perspective and brings to the fore another lesson, another jewel, another gem. Because we don't have a connection with seerah, these values have been lost to us in our lives. The Nabi of Allah said, you have two qualities which Allah loves. Al-Hilm, you have tolerance. You have tolerance. You know, my wife always tells me, Allah gave you a big stomach, so you must stomach more. Wal-qanat, you are very calm, very composed, and very unflustered. You see, you and I, we grow up watching too many movies. We think that the courageous man is that man who fumes and whose veins are bursting on his forehead and is ready to roll up his sleeves. And he's swearing like a sailor whenever somebody wrongs him. He's screaming and bellowing on the top of his lungs. That's a man of strength. That's a man of courage. No nonsense character. Such attitude and such behavior has no standing in the Sharia. The Nabi of Allah said, Ashaj, I see you very calm. You're very composed. No matter what happens or who does what to you, you tolerant and you remain unflustered. Even if you have to take that person to task, even if you are angry, to get angry is natural. But to remain calm and composed and unflustered is also part of the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So be lenient is also a sunnah. One day Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told Aisha radiallahu anha, Ya Aisha, inna Allah rafiqun yuhibbu rifq. Allah is gentle and Allah loves gentleness. You and I, we feel we are men. I need to stamp my authority. I'm the boss. I need to show that I'm in charge. I'm elder. I need to stamp my seniority. Whereas Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Allah is gentle and Allah loves gentleness. And Allah gives for gentleness much more than He would give when it comes to sternness, or much more than He would give for anything else. Anything else. We need to understand. This is also part of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because gentleness beautifies. There's a very nice story which I read sometime recently. Arifi had written it in one of his books. He says, there were two friends. So, they wanted to get married to two daughters of the same man. And they were going to approach the man to ask for his two daughters' hand in marriage. And he double wedding walima one time, save on the cost. So now the two of them are saying, the one tells the other, you take the elder, I'll take the younger. So then they're telling him, no man, I cannot. You take the elder, I'll take the younger. Now the issue becomes a bit sensitive, right? It's not like you're buying a kurta, you take the white one, I'll take the blue one. You're talking about woman that you're going to marry you. It's like a lifelong thing. Then the other day I read one something on the internet, they said, there was this officer, he was the first day on the job. So he radioed in back to the headquarters. He said, boss, speak louder. I said, what happened? He said, I'm at the murder scene. Say, who killed the person? And no, the wife had just mopped the floor. The floor was still wet. And the husband came and walked over him with his dirty shoes, so she shot him. Dead. So the boss from the headquarters tells him, have you arrested her? He said, no, the floor is still wet. So marriage is a sensitive issue. So now there's about to be an argument that breaks out between the two. Now you take the elder one, now you take the younger one. So the first guy, he was sharp. He understood what his gentleness. He said, you take the younger one, and I'll take the one younger than her. Whilst it may be a humorous anecdote, many times in life you don't have to forgo your rights. You don't have to change your stance. It's just how you package it and present it. That's the meaning of gentleness. In an English, they got the saying, you can send a man to hell in the way that he looks forward to the journey. So gentleness, at times it's about foregoing, about backing down, about letting the person prevail, about foregoing your rights. But in the main, it's about your attitude, your mannerism, how you package things, how you deal with people. We need to learn to deal with people. We think we're very educated, we're very sophisticated, we're in this technological age, but we have forgotten how to deal with people. And these values we'll find in the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the greatest teacher when it comes to human interaction. Leniency. Be lenient. It's part of the Sunnah. Most problems arise when you have an incorrect attitude. If you look at marital problems, if you look at teaching and students, bosses and their employees, elders and juniors, it's got to do with being overly harsh. We don't understand the balance. We have not even thought of leniency as being part of the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whereas many tough problems, many hard challenges, many conundrums in life are resolved through leniency. I read one very apt quote. It says that in a gentle way, you can shake the world. We think that a gentle person is what you say in Gujarati, bicharo. Because he's got no vuma in him, because he's got no confidence, therefore, yeah, he's gentle. No, that's not gentle. That's a passive person. That's a person who, because he doesn't have the ability, he can't speak or he can't stand up for himself. So people take advantage of him, they walk all over him. We're not talking about that. Nabi Fatah had all the ability. Yet he chose to be lenient. He chose to be gentle. And that is strength. Being genuine, being gentle and lenient doesn't mean you are weak. Only the weak people are cruel people. But gentleness is what you expect from a person who is emotionally strong. A person who is emotionally weak is a person who resorts to vulgarity, who resorts to rolling up of the sleeves, screaming and shouting, because he doesn't have the emotional wherewithal. He doesn't have the emotional strength, nor the mental acumen to be able to come up with a plan of action of how to resolve the situation without screaming, shouting, and swearing. So screaming, shouting, swearing, harshness, firmness, threats and ultimatums, those are in most instances an example and a symptom of weakness. Gentleness and leniency is a sign of strength in character. That's why there's a quote that says the greatest strength is gentleness. The greatest strength is gentleness. Why? Because gentleness breeds peace. It breeds calm. It breeds consistency in a person's character. It is not abrupt and volatile. Many people are very abrupt and volatile in how they interact with others, in how they respond to circumstances in the world. His gentleness is strength because it remains constant. And it is clear-minded in all situations. Sometimes you can just see the person. He radiates dignity. He radiates composure and calm. No matter what's happening, when all around him are becoming flustered, they're getting worked up, he can remain focused. He can remain reliable. He can remain steady. Gentleness is not a weakness, it's a strength. Actually, many times, gentleness is an act of rebellion. You know, in English, they say this is an oxymoron, where you say two things in the same sentence which are kind of like contradictory. That gentleness is an act of rebellion. It's not a contradiction. Because many times, those people who are emotionally weak, when they raise their voices and they kind of go let loose, they're expecting you to do something in return so that they can escalate and prevail. But as soon as you retaliate harshness with gentleness, in the fact, بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنَ, that is your rebellion, because that is showing the person, I'm not going to play your game. I'm not going to stoop to your level. I will follow the sunnah of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Another misconception that we have, being gentle and lenient is not discretionary. It's not optional. It's not a nice to have. It is compulsory and mandatory. عَلَيْكَ بِالْرِفْقِ. The instruction of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that be gentle, be lenient. فَإِنَّ الرِّفْقَ لَا يَكُونُ فِي شَيْءٍ إِلَّا إِذَانَ. Whenever gentleness enters any equation, it beautifies the context. وَلَا يُزَّحُ مِنْ شَيْءٍ إِلَّا شَانَ. But as soon as gentleness and leniency is expected, then it disfigures the environment. It disfigures the individual. So if you want to beautify your conduct, your profile, the impression that you leave, not only in people's minds, but in people's hearts, then leniency and gentleness needs to become part of who you are. It needs to become part of who you are. I'll just say a few things in conclusion because our time is almost up. Many times when we listen to these talks, I can remember some years ago, I had to deliver a Jummah talk at the masjid where there was a big altercation between committee members, and there were two groups. And they were like, you know, at the door of the courts and all of that. So it was like a full sirat. And it seems like me, I just pick up these moments when I have to talk on all these sensitive issues. Mandela died, it was my Jummah at the masjid, not around the corner by his house. Then Mugabe resigned, and I had to keep Jummah at the masjid closest to the stadium. So anyway, it just happened to be my Jummah. And now I'm all night, I'm thinking, you know, what am I going to say? Because if I come and talk about something totally different, then they say, what an irrelevant Ali. He knows there's a fire in the masjid and people like each other's throats, and he comes and talks about something else. And if I talk about what is the issue of the day, then each party will think, hey, he's favoring the other. Anyway, we made mashwara with some senior scholars, and I said whatever I said. Now when I'm walking out of the masjid, the one brother from the one group came and said, hey, Mana, what a top bayan. So automatically I started feeling a bit better. If only they were listening. And after I reached my car, so there were other brother from the other group came. What's up, a good bayan, I hope they were listening. So you came to the program today, and the Malik Sahib said that be lenient. It is also a sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is not for you to go home and tell your wife that be lenient with me. It is not for you to go now and tell your boss or tell everyone else to implement what you heard. Tell yourself first. Tell yourself first. I'm serious about this. Each one of us needs to introspect and say that if we love the Nabi Allah, and if we aspire to follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then to what extent am I following my Nabi's example when it comes to being lenient? Tonight I must introspect in my own life. Then have I beautified my own conduct and my own profile as a Muslim, as a Ummati, as a Muhammadi, with gentleness or not? I need to look at myself first. And if I start to do it, others will reciprocate and do it in return. But one thing we must understand, leniency is when it comes to your own rights, when it comes to your own matters. You can never be lenient when it comes to the command of Allah. Your wife doesn't dress the way she's supposed to dress. Your son doesn't want to wake up at the time of Fajr. Then alayka bil rifq, it doesn't apply there. Obviously, you must still use wisdom. You must still use tact. He was still staying within the parameters of Sharia, but the Nabi of Allah was very firm and unwavering when it came to the commands of Allah, but he was very gentle and accommodating when it came to his own rights. You and I is the other way around. The wife leaves the house, she's not dressed properly, we're not bothered. But if she speaks back to us, then our anger rises in a way which is detrimental. When your own rights are transgressed, then you know anger, then you know firmness. But when the limits of Allah are being transgressed, then you turn a blind eye. It has to be the other way around. Remember, brothers, in conclusion, Allah loves gentleness. Allah loves leniency. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved leniency and he lived leniently. It's time that we start to love leniency and we start to live leniently and gently with others. May Allah grant me all of us the tawfiq. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
His sunnah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the ability, inshallah, to be the company of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the day of Qiyamah. Allahumma ameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward all of you.